Good morning. All right. I'm really excited, as normal, to be sharing with you today some things out of the Bible. Before we get to that, I wanted to tell you some great news. Thursday was a great victory. Not only did we talk about some new things happening in the church, but we raised almost $10,000 for Haiti. So give yourself a hand for that. You know, the last couple of weeks, Richard has been talking to us about becoming people that hate sin. This teaching is an essential teaching for us as disciples. Because if we're disciples and we don't hate sin, there's kind of a little, something going on there. We have to be, if we call ourselves disciples, it's natural for us to hate sin. We have to train ourselves to love the things God loves and hate the things God hates. I want to talk about a different aspect of discipleship today that I feel is as important as that. Turn over to John 13, please. In John 13, starting in verse 33, it says, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Now, this is a scripture we've used for years in the kingdom. So this isn't a new teaching for us. We know about loving one another. How's it going in our personal lives? You know, Jesus here is talking to a specific group of people. Who? The church. He says it right in verse 33, "my children." So he's talking to disciples. He's calling us not only to love the world, but to love those in the church. We need to be here for each other. He says, "A new command I give you, love one another." How is he calling us to love one another? He says right here, "as I have loved you." That's pretty challenging. Think about in the degree that Jesus loves us. He came down from heaven. He gave it all up so that he can become one of us. Not only did he become one of us, he allowed himself to be destroyed by us physically. He allowed us to spit on him, to slap him, to mock him, to beat him. He didn't have to do that. See, that's going to be one of the questions I ask God when I get to see God. Why did you choose the cross? I have some theories, but that's another lesson for another day. But that's one of my questions. I hope you guys have a stack of questions that you have for God. Because we're going to be up there for eternity. He's going to have a long time to answer them. What's our theme for this year? What? Exactly. Come follow me. Who are we supposed to be following? Jesus. He says, follow me in love. We need to strive to follow Jesus and imitate him. Turn over to James 2, please. You know, when I first came to the church in 1995, I became a disciple in the New York church. And when I walked through the doors, I was a skeptical young man with about three chips on each shoulder. I didn't love nobody. I didn't want nobody. I didn't need anybody. Don't touch me. Don't talk to me unless I talk to you. Don't look at me crazy or we're going to have some problems. That's just how I was. I was ignorant. I was brash. I was rude. But that's who I was. Thank God God allows us to come who we are. There's some men in this room that are just like that today. Come talk to me after church. We can have a great conversation. I'm telling you, it don't have to be that way. Jesus was not that type of man. Jesus was approachable. And I was not approachable. But I came to church and I was looking around and one thing that I noticed was this group loves one another. There was something different. I couldn't put my finger on it. Why these people hugging up on each other? I don't understand it. The church I came from, we didn't even talk. I saw you on Sunday. What's up? How you doing? And I was out the door the minute the preacher, or actually the priest, stopped speaking. I couldn't get out the door fast enough. And if I came back next Sunday, I did it again. I was very religious when I went to church. Easter, Christmas, somebody die. That's the only time I would go to church. But when I was there, I was right with God. But talking about loving one another, how could I love people I didn't even know? See, when we love one another, that means we need to know each other. It's a process. James 5:16, it reads, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Why do we pray? Confess to each other. I don't need to know your sin. I don't care about your sin. I really don't. There's a lot of people that confess their stuff to me. I don't remember. I don't got a file or a Rolodex to say, okay, what does he struggle with? People are so nervous to confess to one another. Why? You come up to me. Let me tell you something. I'm one of the easiest people you can come confess to. Why? Because I either done it or thought about doing it. I can't judge you unless I stand in being condemned by God myself. We need to confess to one another. Why? Because the Bible commands it. And it says here why? Because we need to pray for one another. How's it going praying for your brothers and sisters? How are you doing praying for your brothers and sisters and their sin? The things they struggle with. The things that they don't do well naturally. Do you know what your brothers and sisters struggle with? When you think of a brother off the top of your head, say, man, you know, I need to pray for him about X, Y, and Z. If you don't, you need to make some phone calls. You need to share some fellowship lunches. Sunday afternoons is a great time to get together with people. Utilize the time that God gives us. Richard talked about us being Sunday Christians. Well, where are you at with that? Where are you with that with your relationships with one another? Do you know your brothers and sisters well? How is your times of confession? Are you confessing your sin? Amen. We receive forgiveness from God. We don't need to go to a priest. But the Bible here teaches us to confess to one another. Why? Because we're a community. We're family. We need each other. We need each other. You know, the thing about the kingdom that I love the most is the relationships. When we're feeling funky, we can go to somebody. We can go to multiple somebodies and say, I'm just not feeling right. It might be that I went to bed too late last night. It might be that I ate something wrong last night. It might be that I'm in sin. But whatever it is, I have multiple somebodies to go to. Do you have multiple somebodies? But at least you have one person. It is lonely. Lonely in the kingdom if you're by yourself. God didn't design it like this. If he designed it for that, we'd all be at church, at home right now, praying and doing our own thing. But he designed the church to be a community. Turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews 3, please. Hebrews 3, starting verse 12. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly to the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Let's just get honest in here. Verse 15 gives us a warning. It says not to allow our hearts to be hardened by rebellion. Where's your heart today? Where's your heart today in regards to the commands of the Bible? When it says to confess, do you have an attitude of, why do I need to confess? They ain't God, they can't do nothing for me. Or encouragement. Are you a person of encouragement? When you come to service, do you look to encourage others? Forget about the service. How about the rest of the time, rest of the week? Are you a person of encouragement? What does it mean to encourage? It means to give courage. Satan is trying to steal our courage on a daily basis. Moment by moment, he wants to destroy us. You better know we need encouragement. First of all, we need to be going to God through prayer for that encouragement, but we also need to be going to each other so that we can be praying for each other, with each other, and for each other. Where's the community? If we're not doing this, why are we a church? Just to come worship? You can go to any church to go worship. Well, that ain't true, but you know what I'm saying. You know, the Bible warns us about rebelliousness. It talks about he's talking to the disciples here, saying having an unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. He's not talking to non-Christians, y'all. He's talking to us, the ones that supposedly know about this. That's convicting. That's very challenging. He's not talking about some non-Christian out there that's just doing what they do naturally. He's talking to disciples that should be unnatural for us to do that. It should be against our nature not to talk. It should be challenging to get people out of the building. And it is for the most part, which is awesome. But what are those conversations about? The Super Bowl? How bad your week was? Or has it been how good your week was? How God has encouraged you, how great things are going, what things you're studying with in your Bibles, the great conversation you're having with the lost, all those type of things. You guys with me? The conversations we need to be seasoned with salt. They need to be about something. They need to have substance. You know, we're here for a short period. We're here for a short time. I know for me, I want my life to count. When I go, like Richard's always talking about, our bags packed, when it's time for that final trip, I want my life to have meant something on this earth. I want to leave my children an example. I want to leave the church an example. I want to be an encouragement to the church. I don't just want to come here on Sundays, say, what's up, how you doing, and leave. That's fake. No one here signed up for that. No one in this room signed up to be a part-time Christian. We also didn't sign up to be Lone Ranger Christians. Because Lone Ranger Christians get shot in the back. Because you ain't got nobody watching your back. You know, a lot of times we feel good. We're reading our Bibles. Or we're doing the checklist items. You know what I'm saying? And we feel encouraged. Why do I need to get encouraged? I feel great. I am super disciple. That's awesome. Feel great. But how about the times when you don't? Those are the times when you need those relationships. And guess what? If you don't cultivate them in times of refreshment and you're doing well, they won't be there for you when you're not doing well. You know, we just came back from New York for Christmas, and there was a dear brother over there that I love to death, and he's just not doing well right now. And I don't want to give a lot of details, because he might hear this tape. But he checks up on me every once in a while. And we were talking, and he's like, he's older than me, older than the faith and all this stuff. He goes, man, I feel like I'm talking to my older brother. You've grown so much. I was like, yeah, whatever. This is the deal. We all have seasons. Right now, you're in a season that you need help. You were there for me when I didn't even know Jesus. This brother baptized me. Now, 15 years later, I'm there to be an encouragement to him. Why? Because we cultivated that relationship over years. And even though he's in New York and I'm here, I'm the only person that he talked to about all the things that are going on in his life. Why? Because I'm so awesome? I'm kidding. Of course not. It's because we cultivated that relationship over time, because we studied the Bible with people. He helped get me married. He helped bury my two parents. He was there with me in life and in death. We are tighter than brothers. I was trying to contact this brother for 5 years. And he was just out of the loop and didn't want to talk to anybody in the church. I kept on trying. Why? Because their relationships were cultivated in love. The Bible calls us to love one another. If you guys like titles, the title of this message is Becoming a Person Who Loves. You know, we've already talked about becoming a person who hates sin. Now let's talk about becoming a person that loves. You know, sometimes we also think, you know, I'm a private person. And these things that, you know, that are going on in my life, that's none of your business. The church stops when I close my door. Boy, I don't know what Bible that you are reading. But the last time I checked, the sins listed in the Bible are not personal. We do not live in a vacuum. When you sin, you affect the body. When you became a disciple, you decided to become a part of the body of Christ. Now, I'm not saying that we throw you on blast, that we come up here and say, you know what, Audie Flowers, let's throw his sin list out there. I'm not saying that in the least. But if you have no one there for you, it's going to be very hard for you to get back up. Turn over to Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27 says, 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. How does that look when they're sword fighting? There's sparks flying everywhere, unless they're playing pity-pat. But if they're really trying to kill each other and getting down to business, there's some sparks flying. But in the case of the kingdom and with our relationships, when our swords connect, those sparks are sparks of encouragement. When's the last time you had a disagreement with a brother or sister that was about a spiritual thing that you just could not see? Those are good, by the way. Another person I'll mention again is Audie. Me and Mr. Audie, we sharpen each other all the time. That is my best friend. I love him to death. He has really helped me to transition into this church in a great way. But we don't talk about football all the time, every once in a while. We talk about spiritual things, our marriage. And nothing is, there's children in the room, so I'm not going to go into detail, but again, nothing is off the table, if you know what I'm saying. Our children, again, nothing is off the table. We talk about everything, very intimate details. Why? Because I need that help. Richard, obviously, is my mentor, and I don't hide nothing from him either. He knows everything that goes on in my life. Why? Because I need that. Because I'm in the ministry? No. I did it in New York, and I did it in Tampa, and I'm going to do it here. And if I'm not in the ministry, I'll continue to do it. Because I have a deep conviction that I need other people to help me get to heaven. I can't do it on my own. Again, Jesus came down, died for us, and created the church. If we could have done it on our own, he would have just did it and said, okay, tell some people, keep on talking about it, and do your thing. But he calls us to have community, to be family. Turn over to James 4. I'm sorry, James 2. James 2, starting in verse 14. It says, What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. You know, this passage teaches us that, yes, we need to pray for each other. But we need to get our, you know, roll our sleeves up and just get into it. Nothing is off the table. I am so encouraged by our church because there's a lot of times where people do that. If they know that you're sick, they come in and clean your house. They don't just clean your living room, they clean your bathroom. Nothing is off the table. You know what I'm saying? Now that is a servant's heart, to go to somebody else's house and clean their toilet. But that's the kind of relationships we have in the kingdom. Not only are they willing to do it, but you're willing to let them. It is very humbling to let someone that's not part of your family clean your toilet. If you haven't, you know, if you're not paying them. But if they're doing it to be a blessing for you, God bless them. And you know what? Thank God that you have the heart to allow them to do it, because they're also receiving a blessing for what they've done. When people are sick and we send food to them, bring them food, bring them encouragement. These are strong points of the kingdom. Again, in my other in the other churches I've gone to, that didn't happen. And it probably was because maybe I wasn't as involved as I needed to be. But I know for sure the kingdom here, we do that. We could cook too. Ain't nobody hungry up in the kingdom. But anyway, we meet the need, whatever it is. If it's food, we bring food. If it's babysitting, we babysit. If it's people sit, we people sit. We do whatever it takes. Is that still the case? Is that still the case? Do you know the needs that are around you? It's so important for us guys to be in relationships with people that are more spiritual than we are. I'm going to say it again. It is so important for us to be in relationships with people that are more spiritual than we are. If we're to grow, we need to have mentors. Imitation is biblical. Imitation is biblical. When Rich is preaching, I'm studying. I watch what he does. When I'm with him, I watch how he treats his wife. I watch how he treats his children. Why? Because I see the fruit of his life and I want it. I want my life to be like his. I want to be like him. I don't want to be him, because no one could be Richard. I don't want to be a little Richard. I like being Big John. I thought you liked that. I like being Big John, but I want to imitate the things of Christ that he has in his life. There's a lot of brothers out here and sisters that have things that I want to imitate. How is that going in your life? Are you running around looking for things to imitate? Are you being critical or sitting back not even thinking about it? It is so easy, like the scripture we talked about before, to get caught up in rebelliousness. Why I gotta do the new thing the church is doing? I like it the way it used to be. Well, you know what? It ain't the way it used to be. And in a year, it'll be different again. It is a process. No one has all the answers. We're just trying to do what God has put on our hearts to do. As a church, we need to rally behind whatever that is and do it. God will make it clear if it's not what we're supposed to do. He always does. He always does. You know, thinking about practicals on how to help people, when we get in our new house churches this Thursday, a great thing to do is ask people what you can pray for them for. Ask them what they need prayer for. Let me tell you something. You will get to know that group in a very intimate way very quickly. Imagine having dozens of people bringing you and your plight and your concerns before the throne of God. That's encouraging. That's what we need to be about. That's what we need to be about. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You know, these relationships are precious. But they're only precious if you cultivate them. You know, they don't just come out the box. The last time I checked, the last person that got baptized, there wasn't a person just standing there waiting to be that person. Now, we all need to be rallying around each other. What I'm saying is those intimate relationships are personal. And they have to be cultivated. Are you investing in that time? Are you investing in the time to be able to say, I could tell so-and-so whatever? If you don't have that so-and-so in your life, when you fall, guess who's going to be the person that wants to help you up? Satan. Standing right there. Oh, I'll help you up, man. No problem. And let me send you on a different goose chase. And once you get there, I got something else for you. Let me show you something else. And if you buy that bridge, I got another bridge. I could sell you in Guam or something. You know, Satan is ready to destroy us at every chance. Love one another. This is the command that Jesus himself has given us as a disciple. You know, by this, the world will know that we're disciples. When people come in here and they see the real relationships, they know something's different. The same way when I came in, I felt there was something different in this church. You want to share your faith? Make sure your life backs up the things that come out your mouth. We need to be people of encouragement. We need to be the people that speak the truth in love. There's nothing off the table. We must take care of each other. We must cultivate those types of relationships. And if we do, we're going to show all men that we truly is disciples. To God be the glory. Amen.